at times when you're in the presence of the world. I mean, when the world and all of its glory is glorying, how hard it is to confess that Jesus is the Christ. If you're not careful, you know you'll kind of hang your head and go off somewhere, because it just don't fit in there. It just don't seem, you know that you are a misfit. And so the kingdom of God is a kingdom set up in the world, but it cometh not with observation, and it dwells within his people, it is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness and joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. And so God's people, when they are blessed, where the Lord has sent his ministers to gather together some of his children that's in the kingdom of God and to constitute a church where it's pleased him to set up a local invisible church around about. You don't find them everywhere, beloved. You just don't find the churches of the living God everywhere. But wherever it's pleased the Lord to set up a church, and God's people in the kingdom of God, the ministers are sent out, and the preaching of the glorious gospel of the Son of God goes out to call these people out of the world, those that are in whom the kingdom of God is dwelling. It goes out into the world and calls them and tells them to come, to take up your cross and follow your Savior. His name is Jesus. He is the Christ. Jesus is the Christ. He's the promised Messiah. He's the anointed one. He's the one that God has promised from the very beginning when he spoke to Eve there in the garden before he cast them out. He says, the seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent. And he made that promise to our mother Eve. And so in 4,000 years, I understand about 4,004 years, he came. And he fulfilled every term and every covenant, every jot and tittle of that covenant that was made between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, even before the world began. And he come and fulfilled the just demands of the law, satisfied it in every jot and tittle, and the Heavenly Father, because he was well pleased with the Son, raised him from the dead. And he ascended back. Well, for 40 days, we have this now, but for 40 days, we have that the Son of God appeared unto his witnesses, which he chose, and spoke to them about those things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And so that's what he was interested in. He had set up his kingdom, the kingdom of God. And he said, Peter, he said, blessed art thou, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you. What was it that was revealed to him? That Jesus was the Messiah. To the nation of Israel as a whole, they did not see that. They did not believe that. Yet they were without excuse. Every Jew, it doesn't matter whether he was born again or wasn't born again, he was obligated to believe that Jesus was the Messiah. God had sent them prophet after prophet after prophet. He had prophesied and had it recorded. And they were obligated to recognize Jesus the Messiah, because he had sent to them time and time again. Just suppose that George Washington, the father of our country, let's suppose that God had revealed to him that he was going to send a great prophet to this country, and he had recorded it all in a book, all the things that he would do and say. And that had been taught in this country ever since, over and over and over. The citizens of this country would be obligated to believe what God said. We are obligated to believe God's word. And so they were a stiff-necked, and an uncircumcised generation. What John the Baptist said of them, I believe, and Stephen said of them. And at any rate, there was a remnant. There was a remnant. The election hath obtained it. The Apostle Paul said, that which Israel seeketh after, they have not found, but the election hath obtained it. And so there was a remnant which the God of heaven revealed to them that Jesus was the Christ. And beloved, that's the greatest revelation that a sinful soul will ever find, will ever see, or hear of, this side of eternity, while you're dwelling tabernacling here in this evil and present evil generation, in this time of darkness, when evil is so rampant among the generations of this world, the greatest revelation that a soul will ever see is that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is the one that's been promised from the very beginning and is the sum and substance of the Old and the New Testaments, and that he not only is the Son of God, but he has performed all that had been prophesied by him, has performed every office that he was to fulfill and is yet carrying out as our intercessor in heaven. His duties there as our intercessor and advocate with God. And so Jesus, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but my Father, your Father which is in heaven. And when and he said, and upon this rock I'll build my church. Now, we know one organization that's headed up in Rome that upon that statement has built up a great organization, and they say they are the church. And they say that the Lord gave upon the rock, and he said Peter was a rock. And the word Peter means a stone, I understand. And they say that Peter began the church is built on Peter. And they say that Peter was the first head of that church, and they've got heads of them ever since. And so they have the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And they think that is literal and proclaim to exercise authority in heaven, on earth, and in hell. They claim to have the authority to pray souls out of purgatory into heaven and to elevate them and make saints out of them and so forth. But thanks be unto God, beloved, that there's a greater truth than that to be found in the scriptures. And the Lord himself is the rock. Moses said, and the Apostle Paul says, that the water that was struck from the rock and followed them throughout the desert was Christ. Christ is the rock. He is the rock that's higher than I. He is the rock of ages. Moses said he is a rock, and his work is perfect, and all of his ways of judgment are God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Our God is a rock, and it's not like their rock, Moses said at one time, the rock of other nations, their God. And so Jesus is the rock. He is a chief cornerstone, which is a rock, made out of a rock. Normally. And so he is the chief cornerstone of this building, this church that he's going to build. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So he is the rock, and there's no disputing that with scripture. I mean, I've got scriptural terms all day long to stand up here and say that Christ is a rock. And you cannot deny that by the scriptures. And so Christ is a rock. He's a chief cornerstone. And the church is built on Christ, on the apostles, and Christ the chief cornerstone. And so he called his 12 apostles and sent them forth and began to build upon the chief cornerstone of the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. But that confession that Peter made, beloved, we don't want to overlook that. Some people says that is the rock. And I think Christ is the rock. But for the local church, that confession is what the local church builds on. That's what qualifies a member of the kingdom of God to become a member of the local assembly and to observe the ordinances, to handle and take the Lord's Supper, the bread and the wine, emblems of his body and of his blood broken for the church. And what qualifies a member of the kingdom of God for doing that is to come out openly and confess Jesus with the mouth. Say, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, beloved, we need to get back to that. A lot of times our members come to join the church and they say we love the church. And that's true. We do love the church. And you wouldn't be a proper candidate if you didn't. But first of all, we need to confess Christ as the Son of God. He's the Savior of sinners. That's where our confession starts. I believe that Jesus is the Savior. He's the anointed one. Well, what was he anointed for? When he started his ministry, the Spirit, like a dove, came down upon him, initiating, inaugurating the kingdom of God here in the earth, showing that the kingdom of God is a habitation of the Spirit here in his people. And except a man be born of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Neither can he hear the kingdom of God. Beloved, here is a nation of people that's bringing forth the fruits thereof. And this kingdom shall never perish. It shall endure forever. And it shall not be left to another people. If you've ever been blessed to see the kingdom of God, beloved, you are heaven-bought and heaven-bound for eternity to be with the Lord. For that kingdom shall never pass away. And it's here forever and forever. And there's nobody can destroy it. Now, the kings of these kings, there's a king over there in Iraq. There's a new Babylon right down the road there that he's trying to build back again. He wants the glories of Babylon. This king Nebuchadnezzar that Daniel spoke about, he says he's Nebuchadnezzar. I haven't heard him say it, but I've heard people say they've heard him say it 3 or 4 times. That Saddam Hussein said he was Nebuchadnezzar. He's going to build Babylon in the kingdom again. But beloved, and I hear television evangelists saying that's what's going to happen, but I don't believe it. I just don't believe it. Them kingdoms are passing away, beloved. They're passing away. And the kingdom of God is being brought into its fullness, just as a rock that's cut out of a mountain and grows and grows and grows and fills the whole earth. God is bringing his children into the kingdom of God. And who can defy him? Who can hinder him? If the Spirit of God is like the wind, and it goes where it pleases, and no man knows from whence it cometh and where it goeth, how can they hinder it? They can't do it. And the soul of man that's immortal, the body here that we have is mortal, and it's going to die. And you can cut it and shoot it and kill it. But you can't kill the soul of man. You can't shoot it. You can't cut it. You can't pinch it. You can't do nothing to it, because it's not material. It's spirit. And it's formed within us. God forms our spirit within this body. And we are an individual, just as your thumbprint. There's no other thumbprint on the face of the earth like yours. And there's no other soul in existence like yours, because God has formed it. And we are his. He has formed our spirit within us. And the soul of man is composed of spirit. And it dwells forever. Though a man kill the body, he can't kill the soul. But it can be thrown into hell forever and ever. We are told that. God can destroy the soul. He don't annihilate it, but he can cast it forever in the blackness of darkness forever and forever, out of his favor and out of his sight and out of his light. That's hell, beloved. And hell is made for the devil and his angels, the enemies of God. And God is manifesting his power, his love, and his justice here in this earth. And he's not only going to destroy all of those kingdoms over there that would rise up again, the Babylonian kingdoms and the Medes and the Persians, which is Iran, and the Greeks and the Romans, but all the kingdoms of this earth shall become the kingdoms of our Lord. And so blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because he saw and believe that Jesus was the Christ, and he confessed it with his mouth. Over in the 10th chapter of Romans, we hear those that's trying to populate heaven time and time again. Their formula for salvation is in this chapter here, where it says that that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, the time is gone, I apologize. It says, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all them, all that call upon him. And all that call upon the Lord, Greek, a Jew, male, a female, rich or poor, black or white, it doesn't make no difference where you are, beloved, and what tongue and what tribe or what nation on face of the earth you are. If you confess, if you believe with your heart unto righteousness, and you can only do that by being born of the Spirit of God. If you believe in the heart unto righteousness and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, thou shalt be saved. What shall you be saved to, beloved? You'll be saved to that truth. You'll be saved to the truth of the gospel as it is in Christ Jesus. That's a candidate for joining the local invisible church. That's it. That's what's required. That's all that's required, is that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that entails what this scripture says about him, Old and New Testament, about the promised Messiah, the anointed one. He has come, and it's all given on the very first page of the New Testament. It's all given in one verse, Matthew 1:21. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And he did that. He's not trying to do it, beloved. He did it. He's our Savior. He saved his people with an everlasting salvation. And in the church, we learn about that. And we're brought to the knowledge of the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. And to those that's willing to publicly, even though they might be abused and separated from their family, and bear the offense of publicly proclaiming that Jesus is the Christ, if you're willing to deny yourself and do that, beloved, then you're a candidate for baptism and a member of the visible church. We have, beloved, the greatest thing that's on this earth. The Lord set it up himself, and that's the church of the living God, the pillar, ground of the truth. And it's composed of the kingdom of the people in the kingdom of God, in which dwells within them. May the Lord add his blessings to his precious truth. We publish the doors of the church open. If there's one or more that has this testimony in their heart, you believe with your heart, and you want to confess Jesus publicly with your mouth and join the church, we'll give you that privilege while we're assembled together here today. What shall we sing, brethren? Number 100. Brother asked for that at the close of the service. Blessed be the tie that binds. Lead that for us, if you will, brethren. Do you shake hands? Y'all don't shake hands, do you? You do? Uh-huh. Well, it's customary to just shake hands. We come around that place, and he said, just shake hands with one another, whatever your mind is.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
sisters had brought, sisters rather, I suppose there might be some brothers, they had brought out lunch and invites everybody to stay and eat with us and to fellowship with us if you can, have the opportunity. They want you to, and we want you to. And brother, Brother Haney wants to have that announcement.
Brother Blaine Hoover has promised to be with us next second Sunday. Brother Dwayne Hoover, Colonel, is promised to be with us next Sunday. Sister Lois Lamb called, was planning on coming this morning, but Sister Smith wasn't able to come with her, and she didn't want to try to come by herself. So that's the reason they are not here this morning. And again, we want you all to stay for lunch. Appreciate you coming for being with us.
Yeah.
Thank you.
The Elder Roy Spears is to be with us on time tonight. On Sunday nights, we start singing at 6:30 and preaching at 7 o'clock. Of course, we invite you to come and be with us any first and third Sunday and second Sunday night. I have a list of appointments here for Elder Powell. They're mostly down the Bear Creek Association, but he will be at Parkview and Western Salem on Monday night, the 25th of this month, and he'll be at High Point on Wednesday night, the 20th of this month. And I'll leave this card right here if anybody wants a copy of these appointments, so I'll be free to have them. Any other announcements? If not, bow with us and we'll count the Lord. Most kind and merciful Father, we thank thee, dear Lord, for thy tender mercies and loving kindnesses that thou bestowed upon us, translating us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of thy dear Son, if we're not deceived in our hearts. We desire to thank and praise thy great and wonderful name once more. For thy believing children that's assembled together here at this church at Reedsville, we pray, dear Father, that it might please thee to prosper her, that her light might shine, that it might go forth in this community. As the gospel truth, O Lord, goes out to enlighten thy children's minds, that they might be turned from darkness unto light, and might follow thee in praise and worship thy wonderful name. Lord, as we take the part in hand, we pray that thou would dismiss us in thy care. Be our light in darkness and our strength and weakness, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.